because people are realizing that they were so stressed. It was almost like post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was traumatic. And a lot of people are realizing, as things tend to be easing up, that wow, I was really hit a lot harder than I give myself credit for or realized.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. We have an awesome return guest. I like to call her our in-house wellness coach here, Roberta Mittman. She's with us. And quick little bio on her is she is the founder of the Park Avenue Center for Wellbeing, and it's a dedicated alternative healthcare practitioner. Tripping over my tongue. She's a wellness coach, speaker, author, and licensed acupuncturist and certified nutritional consultant. And she offers guidance to us worldwide, to people worldwide, to look and feel vital and unstoppable. And, you know, she just has this magic blend of timeless Eastern principles with the cutting edge Western information. So welcome, Roberta. Thanks for being on the show again.
Oh, Sharon, it's always such a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me today.
I wanted you to come back on the show because I wanted to talk about a few things. I think a lot of us are feeling like we're seeing the end in sight of the past months of trauma. Yes, fingers crossed there for sure. As the summer is approaching here where I live, everything's in full bloom. And a lot of people are being, I'll say, re-stressed. Going like, is it summer allergies or is it something else? And then also I'm having a lot more spring and summer allergies than I had the last couple of years. So I'm just curious, let's talk about spring and summer allergies and how we know it's an allergy.
Well, that's always very difficult to tell. You know, it's always a good question. And many times it's some of the symptoms, because although many times it overlaps with a cold or like some kind of infection or things that can give you headache and all a lot of the same symptoms. But many of the times, if you don't have a temperature, but you're feeling congested and there's a lot of like issues with like breathing and the typical runny eyes and things like that, many times it's mostly allergies, especially if it's seasonal. It could be a cold, and there's always that discussion. Allergies or is it a cold? Back and forth. But many times a cold or virus, it has more severe symptoms. You know, it can be a little bit of both. But one of the reasons, Sharon, that I wanted to talk to you about is when you mentioned it seems like it's getting worse. Well, I was reading today that is totally not your imagination.
Really?
Cue music.
This is the worst season for me, and I don't know why.
Places,
yes,
places.
I know I have spring allergies.
We're starting
in
3, 2.
It wasn't a shock. Like,
welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any other recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Everything's so dusty and polleny.
That is a major contributor, because a lot of the dampness pushes it down a little bit.
Yeah.
And the dryness of it all, of course, releases the pollen. And then if it's windy, it just pushes it around, you know, all over. So that's just the way it is. But the global warming is really, I mean, contributing to the fact that, yeah, people are saying, I think that's, this is the worst it's been. But I always hear that every year. Most people say that. And it's, but it's true. It is getting worse for a lot of people.
I know it's true. And on one hand, I do what I can to fight global warming. But then again, I feel a little bit helpless with this idea of, okay, well, that's good to know, but what do I do now to stop the
what can you do? That's an excellent question. So I can give you a couple of suggestions, and I'm sure you will add to them because A, you always have such wonderful ideas, and you're an allergy sufferer. So unfortunately, you have experience with it. I just help people like manage it and deal with it. One of the ways I do is with acupuncture. Acupuncture can be a very interesting, peaceful, and effective way of dealing with allergies. I'm not going to say that it's a substitute for like heavy medication or something that will totally delay symptoms for the season, but for peanut allergy sufferers, it really can give some relief. And so it gets very busy at this time of year for like allergy sufferers.
And I have to put my hand up. Acupuncture is great. I use it a lot and for a lot of other things too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for me, when you say it's not a be all end all, okay, I agree with that. But sometimes I don't need that. I just give me a break, you know, just enough of a relief. I have to be 100%, even small percentage points. You're just, okay, my eyes have stopped itching so much, you know, or something along those lines.
Exactly. Right. Now, the interesting thing is you mentioned your eyes. That is such a common symptom these days. It seems like that's the worst part that I'm hearing are the eyes. So what I suggest are using eye drops that are like natural tears. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't work, then there are special eye drops sold over the counter specifically for allergy symptoms. So people don't have to take, let's say if they're taking decongestants or allergy medications over the counter, something like that. You don't have to take something for your whole body if it's your eyes. You can just deal with the little drops. And sometimes that's all you need.
But I've wondered about my eyes, though. I think I'm doing many more virtual types of conversations than I ever used to do. And I do wear the blue blocker glasses, which is good.
I see them. Yeah. They look beautiful. Your glasses look blue and they match your outfit. I mean, it's just gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm curious if I'm wondering, though, because my eyes feel fatigued before allergy season, you know, if it just maybe like one final assault to the eyes already being slightly stressed from so much virtual types of work.
Absolutely. It can be eye strain.
Yeah.
And you have the right glasses, but you're just putting in all of that blue light, squinting, all kinds of things, you know, it's just overstrain, overuse many times. Yeah.
One thing I like to do is a cold compress, you know, a cold washcloth or something along those lines. Lie down for a little while and just wash my face first to make sure I got any dust or pollen off of it. You know, clean cold washcloth, just put it on my eyes. And sometimes even something as simple as that will oftentimes calm things down enough that it's no longer too aggravated.
Yeah, because sometimes they feel like, you know, like sandy, you know, it's like they're irritated. So that's a beautiful idea. That's a wonderful idea. Some of the other things also for the allergies, you know, we've mentioned them probably in the past, but it doesn't hurt to repeat them, are something like a squeeze. They sell the squeeze plastic for the saline solution.
Oh, yes.
With the neti pots. Some people don't like neti pots, so they go to the plastic squeeze, and it's just a little bit, it's a same thing, but a different delivery system to flush out the sinuses. That can be really helpful. That's a wonderful thing. Also, wearing hats and washing your hair, because there's pollen. If you're outside, there's pollen on your hair, and you're putting it on your pillow at night.
You know, that is good to know, because I walked out to my car the other day and it just had this yellow haze on the windshield. So well know that you're going to get pollen in your hair and on your clothes. And maybe we start doing that shower like we were doing at the height of COVID, come inside and wash everything off just to make sure the pollen is off of us.
Yeah, because when you think about it, you know, some people go to sleep and they take a shower in the morning. So they're going to sleep and they're putting it on their pillow and they're breathing it all night.
Yeah.
So just something to think about.
One more thing to think about, guys. But it is allergy season, I'll tell you that. And so run these ideas, guys, by your own healthcare providers. Roberta and I are just talking about things that we know that work and Roberta uses in her practice. But as you're taking notes today, just run them by your healthcare providers, seeing if those types of things, you know, would work in your specific situation, because not everybody has the same
situation. Right. Thank you, Sharon. Always. And these are just natural ideas. And some people may, you know, require intervention. And that's totally wonderful if that's what you need. But sometimes these little simple things can help just ease it as you get to the season. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, one thing I've noticed, Roberta, about this, though, is in a way, it's just one more stressor to my body. And as we're coming out to what we'll say like the new normal and stuff, I'm beginning to realize how stressed I really was. I guess when you're in the thick of stress, you don't pay that much attention to it. And I was beginning to de-stress, maybe that's what I'm thinking of, I'd call it, de-stress. And then all of a sudden the allergy sort of, boom, another stressor on top of it. But what have you been seeing people do as a way to decompress, de-stress?
It's such a wonderful conversation to have right now, because people are realizing that they were so stressed. It was almost like post-traumatic stress syndrome. It was traumatic. And a lot of people are realizing, as things tend to be easing up, that, wow, it's like I was really hit a lot harder than I give myself credit for or realized. It's like when you're in the middle of a trauma or some kind of a crazy event, like a pandemic, you're like busy surviving and you're busy going through it and trying to make your way through like each day of it. And then after it's slowly, but as we're starting to return a little bit to some degree of new normalcy, that's where the post-traumatic feelings come in. And it's a lot of, what I'm seeing is a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fear, a lot of feeling a little burned out and a little difficult to get motivated again. Some people are just jumping right back in and maybe a little too fast because they might just get a little burned out. But I think people are just putting their feet in the water and saying, like, what does this world look like now? Yeah. Just kind of trying to figure it out. And what's changed? You know, it's like this. Are you seeing the same thing? I mean, all my friends too, and patients, many of the things we talk about come from the stress of now, what do I do next? What do I do now? What's the right thing to do?
I've talked about it before, but not in the terms of pandemic. It's interesting. You know, we've been doing the show for 6.5 or more years. I'm trying to count.
Wow. Amazing.
But we've been doing it for a while. And previously I had talked about what I call situational anxiety around, like, I know people and myself who can get up and give a speech to 1,000 people and not anxious about it, but maybe something happens medically and all of a sudden that causes anxiety, whatever happened, a diagnosis or maybe some sort of thing that they want you, medication they want you to take or therapy they want you to try, makes you a little anxious, right? And I'm noticing that now too, where I'm saying people who I never thought had stress issues or high blood pressures or anxiety or sleeplessness, any of that long list, a lot of them are coming out this other side now and noticing just in the situation, as you said, what next, that a lot of things like sleeplessness and situational anxiety and things are popping up for them. It's interesting that while we were all in the thick of it, it wasn't as noticeable. I guess maybe in survival mode, you don't pay attention to that. But as you start to come out of that, all of a sudden you look back and you go, whoa.
Yes. I was mentioning that there was this wonderful article that was in the New York Times 2 weeks ago. And then there was a follow-up article on it recently as well. And it's about the concept of languishing.
Languishing.
Yes, it's an interesting word. And the writer defined it, it's the middle child of mental health in a way. And it lands between depression and flourishing, languishing. And it's almost like feeling a little dulled. He said, like looking at a foggy windshield and just having an issue with kind of getting back into things and feeling motivated. And I would encourage people to look at it if they're so inclined, because I think he captured a lot of what people are feeling right now. And he spoke about the way to navigate through it is what he called flow.
You know, I've heard that term a lot in business. What does he mean by flow in, you know, the physical?
Flow is, it's just where you're feeling this momentary bond with what you're doing. It just feels like you're just like able to more effortlessly go through your day or through that time. And he feels that it's very difficult right now because a lot of people are having a problem concentrating and focusing because of this particularly like this overwhelm and uncertainty. And he suggests a couple of things. He feels that if we're too interrupted, we can't focus on anything and we can't re-engage with any particular activity or whatever to stay, quote, in the flow. So he suggests setting boundaries where you have uninterrupted segments of time. So he said for some people in their office, it would be no interruptions Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that would be a peak flow time where you can really get into productivity or just feeling like you're engaged, re-engaged. And you're not constantly being interrupted.
I have to pop in there though.
Yeah.
I guess I was defining it a little more narrowly, like, okay, I guess I could block out like 8 to 11 on a calendar.
That's fine.
Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm like, I don't think I could go all day without being interrupted.
No, absolutely. But, you know, with the phone and constantly checking your phone and social media and things like that, that's kind of what he meant. So it could be like an hour, but he was talking about like days where like you're not being, you know, interrupted with meetings and things like that, you know, where you could lock in in an office situation. At home, it could be any time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's interesting because I've always blocked out one day a week. Fridays are my office day. I always have. Okay. I mean, for as long as I can remember, I don't schedule things on Friday. That part of my calendar is not open to negotiation. It's just my choice.
Well, that's perfect because that's another thing that he was talking about was setting boundaries and being careful and being mindful about practicing saying no and setting new boundaries so that you can have this time to yourself. It's really about having time to yourself uninterrupted and being able to start to engage back in things. And so what he was suggesting is not to tackle huge, big projects at this moment, if you don't have to, and to go for small wins, little small victories that you actually have some control over, instead of like biting off more than you can chew and feeling burned out all over again and discouraged or whatever. So those were just some re-entry strategies that he mentioned. Oh, and there was one more. Sorry, I just forgot. And then he said, like, it's kind of the principle in psychology, name it to tame it. Like, how are you really feeling? Do you feel grief because you're mourning the loss of something that you, a person, place, or thing? Mm-hmm. To name that as grief. And to, you know, are you feeling like just like unmotivated? Are you feeling afraid? Are you feeling just like you don't know what to feel, you know, all of those different things. So just to be able to describe it is another way of tackling it.
Now, we've been talking about doing that just for now, but now that I'm listening to all of this, first off, it's great advice, you know, whether pandemic had happened or not, it's absolutely great advice to learn.
Oh, absolutely.
But perhaps we make that part of our new normal, not just this period of, okay, rebirthing or coming out of our cocoons. I keep kind of visualizing, you know, a butterfly where they turn to goo in the cocoon and then they come out. And I want to visualize that for my reawakening here. Those are all great things to integrate and to maintain, not just to use during this period of time.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%. These are things that we probably would talk about, but these are specifically like what he just categorized in the languishing category, because the flourishing is where you want to hopefully go to in time, and not to rush it, to take your time, and not to, like, you know, just to recognize that this might be take some time to re-enter, and that you're not alone in that. And many people are feeling that way now. They're just like, what's too little and what's too much, and who knows, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm going to leave it right there with that question. What's too little and what's too much? You guys ponder that. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Roberta about this moment in time where so many things are happening. And we're entering summer, which is awesome. And we're re-entering or re-emerging in a whole new place. So, which, you know, when I think about it, it's kind of strange because every day is a whole new place, but I guess it's more profound now. So we'll ponder all these great things when we come back in just a couple minutes.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors.
It takes 5 seconds to send a text.
Sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every
week. Driving blind.
Be sure and stop by
lifeinterruptedradio.com
to learn more.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Hi, this
Visit
is Sharon.
Visit starttextstoprex.org.
You know,
a message brought to you by
now.
The National Highway Traffic
Maybe
Safety
you don't
Administration.
Know I'm also an
Project Yellow Light, Noise,
My
and
latest
the Ad
book
Council.
Is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow
Hi,
Hunter.
This is Sharon.
A winner
of
a 5-star reader on the
Auto-Immune
Hour. It's
Maybe
perfect
you don't
for your
know
early
I'm also
reader
an author.
And a great bedtime
My
story
latest book
for
is
your
for
young
kids.
Adventurers.
It's
Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow
Hunter.com.
A winner of a 5-star reader's favorite
review.
It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurer.
See you there.
Check it out over at pinkychenille.com.
Research shows
that's
P-I-N-K-Y. And most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake.
See you there.
What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing?
So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling,
that was a great commercial break. How was that pondering?
Join us at ProjectForgive.com,
a
free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do
you want to be a better leader? Have better relationships? Become more self-aware? Be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach.
We're going to work on that.
And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the seven things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the seven things that's costing you big time. Over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Bite-sized chunks that we can, we mere mortals can understand. So, Roberta, as we went into that commercial break, we were talking about new normal. And I have to be honest, I don't really like the word new normal. I want something more fluffy, like emergence. I don't know, but let's talk about your...
Yes. Yeah, I know. Something like a more like bright and like hopeful and just something like more has a little sparkle to it.
Yes, absolutely. Let's drop sparkles everywhere. I mean, I just feel like I wasn't so thrilled with the old normal, and maybe the word normal's a little tainted in my mind. I guess I have high hopes for lots of things, and I want to continue to have those high hopes. But
sure, yeah.
What are some other tips that you have that we, as we become more integrated back into the world?
Right. Well, one of the ones, I'm just going to piggyback on the discussion that we just had, because one of the important things, I think, would be to find things I would like to suggest to people is like, what can you control right now? What's under your control? I mean, those things is always important to ask. But when things feel a little out of control, it's important to like actually think about, well, I can control that I'm getting up in the morning at a certain time. I can control that I'm eating healthfully, which is another topic, Sharon, because I feel that people are feeling a little out of control with their eating. They haven't been able to kind of get it stabilized for many people.
Well, that, and I, you know, people used to joke about the pandemic 15, now pandemic 25, but I don't think it's any joke. A lot of people I know are commenting on, I should have been more mindful in my eating during that time.
It's very common, and I read it all the time. I'm always one for self-compassion with that, and to understand that, you know, that happens under, you know, times of stress, and that's really okay. And there's other ways to kind of like, kind of get back into a eating plan and rhythm that you're comfortable with. If you want to continue what you're doing and you're not having major health consequences from it, you know, that's fine. But if you want to, this might be one of the things that you actually can take a closer look at and see some of the things that have snuck in. Like for me, the chocoholic, that's what snuck in my routine. But it's like, okay, it's like, it's enough. Like, I'm still going to have my little bit of chocolate because that's like, not, it's not negotiable. It just has to happen, right? But it doesn't have to happen as much. So that's one thing I'm taking control over, and some of the other things, and trying to really make a point of moving more because I'm sitting more. So I feel better when I'm moving my body. So just those, taking those small things, what are some of the things that you feel that you're going to want to take more control over right now? Just little things.
Well, I love moving more, and I have been walking around the neighborhood, but lately I've been driving somewhere to a favorite park or, you know, whatever, and exploring, because there for the last year, even in poor weather, this got a little boring. The neighborhood got a little boring.
Also, you have allergies. You have to be careful when you're walking around.
But I was able to get out more. But because the one thing I noticed is doing less in person. I'm not an elevator person, even pandemic, pre-pandemic, I would always take the stairs if that was feasible. Of course, I'm not going to run up 35 flights of stairs, but you know what I mean. If the stairs or parking further away, whatever was feasible, I'd do that. So I'm going back to doing some of those sorts of things now that it's more of an option. And, you know, I too have a favorite go-to. It's actually a local gluten-free bakery makes the most delicious butterscotch cookies. And I used to treat myself once a week, and I have to be honest, it got to be once a day during the height of everything.
This is a time when I think everybody who's listening can come up with something that they're really willing to come out with at this time, because we've all had to find different ways of coping with things and life's little pleasures along the way.
That's what I'd say. Every night I'd sit down and usually, and unfortunately, at the height of winter and everything else, you know, watch a movie and have my little cup of tea and a butterscotch cookie. And I had been treating myself, as I said, maybe once a week to that, but it really got to be once a night.
Okay. I can relate.
And I can make that a negotiable. I can go back to a couple of days a week type of
thing. Yeah, right.
I can make that a negotiable.
So those are like little things, you know, that I think are really important to do. Everyone can find a couple of little things. And I think it's feeling that you have agency over what's happening right now. And it just gives a little bit of like confidence and feeling that you can handle whatever comes your way, and it builds resiliency, I think.
And I think it's one of those times now, I don't know, you know, the time's going to be different for everybody depending on your location, because as you know, Roberta, this goes worldwide, but I want people to consider having conversations with those people near and dear to you about what you just experienced and listening to. I mean, this is a conversation. I'm not saying unload on people. But, you know, having those deep conversations, the listening times, laying out new ground rules, new boundaries, if you want. Like, okay, let's have a chat about what we want now.
Thinking about making your new bucket list is really important. Like, what kinds of things are you looking forward to doing? What are you excited to do? Those places to go are really important. And yeah, when you speak with somebody to share some of those things, if you feel like it, but even within yourself, to have that conversation and write down some things that, you know, you're really looking forward. When it's safe to travel again, where are you going to want to go? What places have you always wanted to go to? Or there's just some new things that you've decided on your list. I think that's really an important part of re-entering here.
Yeah, absolutely. Just getting really clear. And as we talked about focusing, circling back to one of the beginning topics is, I think focusing on what we want right now is a really good exercise for us to do. And you know me, I love to journal, and I think journaling is a great way to do it.
It is.
As well as having conversations with those that are important to us.
Yes, it is. Another concept that I wanted to bring into the conversation is to slowly but surely accept that maybe some things have really changed, and maybe for good. Like a lot of people, I think, are waiting for things to go back, like a rubber band.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of accepting the fact that things have changed and they may continue to have changed. And in many cases, it can be for the better. Change doesn't necessarily have to mean it's sad and depressing, although many people have lost loved ones and lost very important things. And we can't make light of that, because that is a major loss. And that's something that people are dealing with every day. It's just one of those things where accepting the new sparkling reality.
That's true. And sometimes when I'm thinking about that, Roberta, though, I have to remind myself, change in the world's not new. I mean, I'm experiencing it differently, but pre-pandemic, I didn't know what was going to happen today, tomorrow, and what my reactions were to it. So I keep at times reminding myself, look, you got this, girl.
Yes, Absolutely.
Your whole life has been about change. I mean, all of us couldn't predict what's happening, you know, in the next moments or the next day. It maybe this was much more profound and in everybody's face all at once. But I have to keep reminding myself, I have the skills. You got the skills, girl. It's not like change is something you've never experienced before.
And it's really good advice for people who are taking this very, very hard, where it's really raised a lot of questions. Like, am I really depressed?
Yeah.
Am I really having a hard time? I can't get myself out of this hole. And I think for some people, they may need some help and they don't have to do it alone. Some people are really suffering with that feeling of that depression and that languishing, but like a little too far the other way.
I heard this described a while ago, and I think it's so true. So a lot of us are experiencing not only grief, perhaps we've had a personal loss in our life, but for the first time in a long time, community grief. Mm-hmm. So it's not maybe just you or your family experiencing grief, but you're also feeling the energy of grief from the whole community, the whole world at large, which is unusual. And seeking out help if that's what you are experiencing, whether it's the personal grief or any communal grief.
Absolutely.
Understanding that that's a perfectly normal thing for considering what we've been through to label it as grief. I've heard some people, as if that's a sort of a dirty word, but I think I'm noticing not just a lot of people in personal grief, but also what I'll call community grief.
Yes, I think that's a great point. I think that's really important. And I think that, you know, neighborhoods have been affected, states, whatever. And I walk down the New York City street where I am, I'm on the other side of the country, and you walk down the street and there's so many things that have changed and closed and things like that. But just on the brighter side, I'm also seeing new things opening and people coming in. So it's like a lot of my favorite places, they're gone, but there are some new things coming. And I'm just always, I know my glass is always half full, that, you know, it's all going to come back and Broadway's going to be back on and we'll all, you know, have some semblance of the things that we love, but it will be different for sure. That's just, you know, like you said, the only thing constant about life is change. But having somebody to talk to about it is the important thing.
And whether that comes from close friends, family members, or seeking community other ways, I think that's critically important. Or even someone like yourself speaking to your healthcare professional or a coach, a wellness coach such as yourself or something like that. I think it's important to know that there's, to me, there's more avenues than ever before to be able to find the right types of communication and connection and community and healing and recovery that people seek. It just seems to be multiple opportunities for that now that we never used to have.
Exactly. I totally agree. This is such a time that is so ripe with opportunity. And I know people's jobs have been affected, you know, in their families and relationships. You know, this is really an opportunity to really, you know, work on them and look at them in a different way and perhaps put yourself out there a little bit more, like in for the job market or seeking a relationship to do that. It's like, to me, it's a spring and things are budding and blooming. And in Chinese medicine, that's the nature of spring. It's like the whole regrowth, rebirth, so to speak.
You are the half glass. You mentioned you're a half glass full kind of person. And all the years I've known you, that's held true. So far, definitely that come from that set. And I want to encourage people to, I know you do this for yourself, is encourage people that if you, I've had friends say, somebody should. And my retort is always, why not you? Somebody should, you know, have a Facebook group that did this, or have a, you know, a whatever, a blog post that did that, or a podcast or something. You know, my challenge, and I want to challenge the Autoimmune Hour community here. If you're saying somebody should, I want to challenge. I think Roberta will join me in that challenge. We'll challenge you.
Absolutely.
Like, why not you?
Mm-hmm.
Why not you?
Yeah, there's a lot of limiting beliefs out there about who's going to listen to me and who am I to make a change and things like that. But you're sharing, you're 100% right. You know, if not you, then who?
Exactly. And especially if you're that passionate about it. For me, my Autoimmune Hour radio show, you know, 320 episodes ago, I had those same, like, well, I don't know if people would even be interested in it, but yeah, I'm like, go for it, right?
Yes, that's really perfect. So I hope that people, as a result of like a conversation like this, will be able to just to be the catalyst for knowing that it's okay if you're feeling like your emotions are changing all the time, or you can't focus, or you're not sleeping.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
And so I hope that it will spark.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author.
Or with
my latest book is for kids. And it's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star Reader's Favorite Review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers.
And
check it out over at PinkyChenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com.
See you there. For this episode, but
do you want to
tell
be a
everyone how to get a hold
have
of you
better
and
relationships,
everyone, if you'd like,
become more self-aware,
awesome wellness
be a better
coach,
communicator. Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker,
like
and executive coach.
And
my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show. You know my passion. And maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time. Over at sharonsaylor.com/radio gift.
We all need to have this conversation at some time or another, because this has to go somewhere. Otherwise, it's going to be a stress that's going to stay there and maybe become a little bit more difficult to deal with later on. This is the time to talk about it.
Absolutely. And I want to give a shout out too to your website, robertamittman.com, because you have a free gift over there, which I just love, about the 5 secrets to successful rejuvenation. And that's not just rejuvenation, like maybe your skin or something, guys. This is all about revitalizing your life, health and wellness that works for you, and getting those goals and lifestyle that works for you. And as Roberta and I have been talking, this is the perfect time. We're all reemerging, and you know, yes, we can change our life anytime. We can make radical decisions anytime, but my gosh, it just almost seems like on a global scale that this is the perfect time to reinvent and renew and rejuvenate and make new choices.
Without pressure and without feeling that it has to be, you have to go somewhere and do all these things today or else. You can take your time and really think about it and take one small step at a time, or just not. You can just handle it in the way that you think is right for you. And you'll see that things will definitely, hopefully this fog will lift a little bit, and you'll be able to see a little bit clearly how wonderful your direction has really been going in all this time.
And you don't have to see the full, you know, all the way miles away, one step at a time. You can make new choices with every step.
Exactly. Beautifully said, Sharon.
So everyone, that's Roberta Mittman. Thank you, my friend, for being on the show. As always, it's delightful just to brainstorm with you about success ideas for our health, our wellness, and our life in general. And everyone, join me over at Understanding Autoimmune on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter, as well as every Friday we have another episode. So you can check out all the older episodes, which are a lot of them are still absolutely relevant, at understandingautoimmune.com, and use the search feature to whatever you're searching for and see if we've got a podcast on it. If not, drop us a quick note there in the contact page. If you'd like to have an episode on something, we're always open to ideas. That's over at understandingautoimmune.com. Have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life, and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
In the next few moments, take a nice deep breath. Oh, and let it out with a sigh. Shake out your fingers, and your arms, and your shoulders. And keep breathing, enjoying that breath as you kind of shake it all out, let it go. Just look around a little bit right now, wherever you are. Notice what you're grateful for. Could be anything. Could even be the color of the sky today, the sweet smell of the flowers, the breeze on your face, the people you're with, the place you're at. Could be anything and everything. Take stock of all that you're grateful for that you see. Wow. Take stock of a few things maybe that you don't see right now, but you're grateful for. Maybe it's somebody in your life that isn't here with you now. Some place. Whatever it is, take stock of that and add that to that grateful list that's growing. That's right. Shake everything out and just take stock of that gratitude list that we're building. That's right. Just shake it out. Shake everything out. And continue to add to that gratitude list that you're building. That's right. Wow. Quite a list. That's right. What are you grateful for about yourself? Add that to this growing gratitude list. Don't be shy. Don't be humble. Come on. Take a moment right now, starting at the top of that list. Remember, those were the things that you saw right there near you. And count them down, anchoring each one with a beautiful breath. Number one. Number two. Continue on down your list of the things that are right there with you. Anchoring each one with a breath and let it out with a sigh. Allowing enough time to get through the whole list right now. Now start with the list for yourself. Begin to list those things you're grateful for about yourself and anchor each one with a nice deep breath. Just right. That's right. Even being grateful for this moment right here, right now, feeling every bit of you alive and well, feeling healing and soothing and calming energy just tingle throughout you. Getting stronger with each breath as your gratitude begins to grow. Wow, what a list. What a lucky person. Oh, that's right. Wow. Taking the last few minutes of our time together here right now, just to enjoy this growing gratitude list that grows with each moment, each minute, each hour, each day. It continues to grow. It's not just for today. Add to it tomorrow and the next day. That's right. Oh, and anchor each one with a nice deep breath. And coming right back now, alive, full of energy, happy to be here, in joy, that's right, and feeling grateful for every moment that you have right now. Oh, wow, welcome back. Go in gratitude and enjoy your day.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Thank you.